on the road or off-road, Chevy Silverado is built for tough performance in any condition. Hit the road in a new Silverado pickup. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com for a dealer near you. Chevy Silverado, official truck partner of the Chicago Bears.
Anyone who has seen Chicago theater, I think, even if you don't know the name Jeff Parker, you've seen him in some show somewhere. At the Steppenwolf, at Shakespeare's Writers, at the Court Theater at Victory Gardens, most recently at Goodman Theater with Helen Hunt, which I will ask him about. But right now, he's at the Drury Lane Oakbrook Theater in The Da Vinci Code. Nice to meet you, Jeff.
Well, thanks for having me, Steve. It's great to be on your show.
So, I don't want to talk too much about, because we don't, you know, it's a mystery, so we can't divulge. But can you basically tell what this story is about?
I sure can. I play Dr. Robert Langdon, who describes himself or styles himself as a symbologist. So that's his specialty, and he finds himself in Paris giving a lecture and gets a call from the curator of the Louvre to meet him mysteriously. He knows him professionally, but also doesn't know why. Well, it turns out the police pull him into a kind of whirlwind of a mystery when the curator of the Louvre is found dead in one of the galleries of the Louvre. And Robert Langdon is consulted for his expertise on some symbols that surround the death of the curator of the Louvre. And it involves religious iconography, it may be even dark forces within Catholic Church, and all manner of conspiracy theory that takes the audience on quite a ride.
Indeed it does. And symbologist, I did not even know. So the show begins with you, the professor, coming out on stage with a presumably a clicker thing, you know, that you would move slides along with for a slideshow. And at first you think, is this part of the show? Is this not part of the show? What is he doing? You know, and what is a symbologist? I did not. Is that a real thing?
I think it's a subspecialty of, you know, the way we look at art. You know, when we, you know, if we were to go down to the Art Institute, you and I, and look at different paintings, we could talk all we wanted to about, okay, well, why, what was Picasso doing in this particular painting, and what does this represent? Well, I think what Robert Langdon, the symbologist, is going for is this, to look beyond what is on the surface of your experience. Is there something behind that symbol? And what does it tell you? Is it communicating something to you deeper than what it just means on the surface? And so, which is why in this opening lecture, which is this lecture he's giving in Paris, he throws a bunch of symbols at them that we kind of assume are what they mean, and that he kind of takes you through, oh, well, yes, this symbol might mean this, but did you know that this symbol once upon a time meant that?
It's interesting. How, go ahead. Yeah. I'm sorry.
Oh, well, and just how symbols can evolve over time, and people can adopt them for their own use and interpret them in their own way.
Which was interesting. And there's some great lines, particularly early in the second act. And one I wrote down, but it was dark in the theater, and now I can't read my handwriting. But the essence, the essence is religion and science may be, and I'm totally paraphrasing, two different languages telling the same story.
Attempting to tell the same story. Yeah, Langdon he finds himself on a private jet. We won't tell people why he's on a private jet, but he's on the journey on this quest to find the thing. And he gets in, he's with Sophie, who's this, she works in cryptology for the French police, and they find themselves on this quest to unravel this mystery. And they start sharing information about themselves. And he talks about how he got into interpreting symbols and such, because she asks him about his religious faith and how he was taught one thing about how the world was created, but then he was then taught about the traditional biblical interpretation about how the world was created, but then in school he learned about the Big Bang and evolution, and how those two things in this guy's mind sort of collided, and he tries to ask his priest who's teaching him, how do you reconcile these two things? And the priest doesn't know how to answer. He just says, well, nice boys don't ask questions like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then that something about that denial from his teacher, I think, inspires Robert Langdon to sort of look deeper into what this is all about. And the idea of science and religion being two different languages attempting to tell the same story we kind of arrive at the same place in many ways, because he describes how science even aspires to explain things that aren't explainable, that you just have to have faith in a sort of scientific method. In the same way that if you're a person of faith, you have to have faith in something you can't see.
Well put.
Because he says the lines between science and religion seemed to blur. And I think that takes Robert Langdon on his quest to, and makes it his life to sort of interpret things beyond what we can see.
And Robert Langdon, of course, is you in this show, mm-hmm. but you played in lots of shows all over Chicago, including very recently at the Goodman Theater with Helen Hunt. What was that like?
I sure did. It was a very unique circumstance. I was hired to understudy her co-star, Robert Sean Leonard. And while I was in rehearsal for The Da Vinci Code at Drury Lane, it overlapped with the last 2 weeks of our extended run at the Goodman of Betrayal. And as it turned out, I did 11 out of the 16 shows in those last 2 weeks at Goodman, because unfortunately Robert Sean Leonard was under the weather. So I was in the show a lot. And so if you can imagine, there were sometimes some very close calls getting from Oak Brook
traffic
back into the city.
One with
an hour to go to curtain, and I got a text from the stage manager saying you're on. So but it was fantastic. And it's essentially a three-hander. There's a fourth character, there's a waiter, but it is it's a very intense 75-minute Pinter play. And when you go into a show like that as an understudy, you're kind of going into a well-oiled machine. And, you know, it's just the three of you playing these scenes. And so I was fortunate enough that I had great colleagues in Helen Hunt and Jan Barford, a longtime Steppenwolf ensemble member, who had my back every step of the way. And then we were able to find, you know, essentially what was our version of this story to tell. But I got to say, it was rehearsing The Da Vinci Code, and you saw how much language I have to deliver in that show, while also keeping in the other part, some other part of my brain, Betrayal. That was a supreme challenge to try to do both things.
All right,
I don't know. I wish that on myself again.
I don't blame you. We only have a minute left here, but I need to ask this very important question. Did you meet Tony Nelson, the astronaut, when you lived next door to Barbara Eden?
Tony? Oh, no, I didn't. I did not. But you know, she was married to Michael Ansara at the time, who was known for playing Cochise on the 50s television series. I think it was called Broken Arrow. And Barbara Eden's son Matthew used to come to our birthday parties right next door, and this was in the late 60s, early 70s. But I never did meet, I guess it was Larry Hagman who played.
Yeah. Yeah.
But she was just a nice blonde lady who lived next door.
That's
in,
all?
In Sherman Oaks. Yeah. Oh. Really was. She was as nice as can be. I have very fond memories of Barbara Eden there.
I would agree. She was very nice in my conversations with her. I remember had a pit bull dog. And all yeah. And was very, very nice and very nice looking, too. But that's all beside the point. You are in. Jeff Parker is in The Da Vinci Code at, incidentally, a beautiful theater. The Drury Lane,
sure,
Oak Brook.
Is.
Yeah. One day I ought to count all those chandeliers. Jeff, thank you so much. And continued success with the run of The Da Vinci Code.
Thank you, Steve. Thanks for having me.